So here we are in chapter 6, and we're dealing with the wrapping up and bringing together all the threads that make up the previous prakim, the previous chapters. And here in this Mishnah, we talk about Teli. The Sefer Yetzirah had introduced, or rather not introduced, just hit us with these concepts of Teli, Galgal, and Lev, that Teli, Galgal, and Lev make up the substructure of the triplicate of Olam Nefesh and Shana, the universe that's space and time and the soul. And in a sense, a little bit like there was a time that scientists thought that the nucleus of the atom was about as small a particle as you could get, and then they discovered that in fact a nucleus of an atom, a proton, is made up of these very fast moving particles that they called quarks, which happen to come in threes, and the energy that it would require to pull them apart is so powerful, so much energy, that if you were actually to pull one quark out from among the other two, the amount of energy that it would take would actually create a new one. And so if you pulled one out, there would actually be another one in its place. Because at that level, as we talked about last week, energy and matter are interchangeable. So we were talking about the meaning of Teli, and I brought the place where it first occurs in the Torah. Yitzchak says to Esau, "Va'atu sona kelecho telicho v'kashtecho." Now please lift up your kelim, your arms. Telicho, we decided that that refers to the quiver. Kashtecho refers to your bow. Most of the commentators would say that kelecho refers to your sword. V'tzeh ha-soda, and go out to the field, v'tzudo li-tzayid, and trap me some game. And we talked about how sono, one of the translations of the word sono, doesn't mean to lift or to raise, but to sharpen. We said, you're not allowed to sharpen the blade on a stone, but you can rub one against the other, and that's called mesio. So then Yitzchak saying to Esav, sona kelecho means sharpen. But telecho, why would he have to sharpen his quiver? So we talked about the fact that the telecho refers to the keli, the vessel that holds the arrows. And so Yitzchak is telling him, I need you to prepare that part of yourself which is going to receive. You know, Yitzchak was going to bless Esav. So he asked Esav to prepare himself for the blessing, and part of the preparation for the blessing is to prepare the teli. The teli is the container that holds the thought. So, if we go to page 14, line 4. V'hu merames, at the end of the line, v'hu merames, this is hinting l'madi isa b'tzetel kutn, something that we learn in the Tzetel Kotten of the Sefer Noam Elimelech. Reb Elimelech was a disciple of Reb Shmelke. He was also a disciple of the Maggid of Mezritch. And Reb Elimelech was even there in the time of the Baal Shem Tov. All the Torah that we've been learning, Ishbitz and Pshischa, you know, this all comes from Rebbe Lemelech. Rebbe Lemelech is the Rebbe who brought Hasidus to Poland. Before the end of the 18th century, there hadn't been any Hasidus in Poland. It was restricted to the Ukraine and parts of Russia. Rebbe Lemelech is the first and the greatest and the doyen of the Polish rabbis. So, the chief sefer, two sefer in one, Likutei Shoshana was published first, then Noyam Elimelech, The Sweetness of Elimelech. Then, in the Noyam Elimelech is printed something called Tzetel Kotten. The small, a tzetel is like a piece of paper, a note, small note. And in it are a list of hanhogos, a list of ways that a person needs to act in his life. Private life, public life, in worship, and business, and so on. Also eating and sleeping, and moments of intimacy. So here, in the very first, Rabbi Lemelech says, B'chol eis v'rega, at all times, every moment, shehu ponui min ha-Torah, when a person is not learning Torah, ponui, empty, meaning time that you're not sitting in front of a Gemara, ubefrat, especially shu yoshev bot levado, a person sitting alone, becheder, doing nothing, you're sitting in your room, and you're not actually busy doing something, you have a moment, you're not doing anything. Ushoichiv amitosoi, person is lying on his bed, ve'eni yochalishin, can't sleep. So when a person's brain is in neutral, a person is not engaged in any cerebral intellectual activity, so Rebbe Lemelech says, yiyeh maharher b'mitzvah saseizu. So a person should have in mind, there's a mitzvah. The mitzvah, v'nigdashti b'seich b'nei Yisrael. God says, and I will be sanctified within the Jewish people. I will be sanctified betoich b'nei Yisrael, in the Jewish people. So a person should think to himself that I can fulfill this mitzvah now. V'yidame b'nafshe, a person should imagine in his mind. V'yitzaye b'machshavtoi, and he should depict it in his thoughts. Ki ilu eish godoi v'noire, that there's this huge, tremendous, scary fire. Boyer lefonav, flaming in front of him. Alev Hashemayim. So Rimech is saying that we need to engage the imagination in an active way and imagine a fire. I see a fire in front of me. It's burning hot. It's not just a picture of a fire on a screen, but like there's this huge conflagration going right up into the sky. Vu b'shvil kedushas Hashem yisbarach, and the person, for the sake of the sanctification of the Almighty, shoyve es tiboy, person breaks his natural inclination to protect himself and preserve himself, self-preservation instinct, instead, mapilis atzmo ilo ha'esh, throws himself into the fire, al kiddush Hashem yisbarach, for the sanctification of the name of God. So Rebbeinu says, every time a person has nothing to do, this is the mental exercise a person should engage in. Imagine there's this huge, terrifying fire, blast furnace that goes just endless into the sky, into the heaven, and I, for the sake of Kiddush Hashem, I'm going to make a Kiddush Hashem, I'm going to throw myself into the fire. I don't care how much scared I am of the pain and this, I'm going to throw myself into the fire, and I should imagine myself jumping into the fire, Kiddushas Hashem, for the sake of sanctifying the name of God, the one, the only, the living God. Machashava toiva, and a good thought, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzar for lemas, is somewhere Nebuch, somebody was killed, was thrown into a fire, for real, but didn't have the time to have the thoughts of doing it al Kiddush Hashem. So God will take my machashava, my thought, my imagined jumping into the fire, and will connect it to that real action that happened, and it will be counted as a real death by martyrdom for the sanctification of the name of God. V'nimtze comes out she'ein ha'sheicha v'yoshev botel, so not lying, doing nothing. I'm not just sitting there at the table with my brain in neutral. Instead, mekayem mitzvos aseh d'oraisa. Instead of just doing nothing, the person is actually doing a biblical commandment, fulfilling the command to sanctify the name of God, v'nigdashti, as God says, v'nigdashti, and I will be sanctified b'seich b'nei Yisrael, within the Jewish people. So we're down on page 15 of Pirush. What Rebbe Lemelech means, she'efshel kaddish shem shemayim trich pnimis ha'adam atzmai. A person can make a kiddush Hashem within himself. Nobody has to see. A person can sanctify the name of God internally in private. Shaloi bepumbi doesn't have to be in public. Ubili rabim, there doesn't have to be a whole bunch of people to see, or even three people to see. Nobody has to see. A person inside themselves can sanctify the name of God. Ve'efshel lekayim mitzvos aseh shel v'nigdashti, and it's even possible to fulfill the obligation to sanctify the name of God, so that God can say, "And I am made holy al yedei hirhur levad," just by thinking. It's possible that other people have said the same thing, but nobody's laid it out in such a way. We have an obligation to sanctify the name of God, not to create a chilul Hashem, not to do something that would profane the name of God. Okay, so most people try to avoid doing things that will bring, you know, shame upon the name of God. So, yeah, I'm a Jew, I better be careful what I do in public, and so on. Rebbe Lemelech says that's very nice, but that's not it. To sanctify the name of God, we all know that there are the 10 martyrs. To die a death of martyrdom, I mean, this is one of the things that we are brought up as Jews to understand, that there's an obligation to sanctify the name of God, and we say that all those who are martyred for their Judaism, and, you know, for the oneness of God and rejection of Christianity and so on, that these people died al kiddush Hashem, and we talk about the 6 million, we talk about the kedoshim, that they died because they were martyred, because they were Jews, and for no reason, for no sin, just they were picked on because they're Jews, and we talk about them as being holy, and their deaths as being a martyr. Rebbe Lemelech says, yes, but every minute of the day that I'm not learning or doing a mitzvah or davening or eating or whatever, I could be doing this mitzvah internally. Just by thinking, just by imagining, depicting in my mind that I am jumping into this horrible, scary fire. When God says, and I will be sanctified within, it doesn't mean among, and I will be sanctified among the Jewish people, but rather betoich, mamish k'mashmoy, inside. She'em o'odam moysa nafshah k'dushas Hashem b'dimyoyne, if a person martyrs himself in his imagination, u'mitzaya ech shemapelis atzmoy ba'ashlaya, and even in this illusion that he's in, if a person can build himself a sufficiently real fantasy, an illusion, and imagine the terror of the martyrdom, and then actually in the terror of the illusion to continue and go ahead with it, mekayim al yedei zeh samitzvah sheniskalish shem shemayim toich machshavas atzmoy, he's fulfilled the obligation, and God will consider himself to have been sanctified because this person imagined killing himself for the sanctification of God. Next paragraph. I have to say that it's very really a shocking idea. It's a frightening idea. It's a fantastic, a phantasmagoric idea. We talked in the preface to the book, we talked about the different kinds of desire that there are. You know, we talked about the lowest desire being those desires that we experience in the belly, in the abdomen, those that are associated with water, hunger, thirst, lust. The basic desires that we're all familiar with. And then we talked about the second desire, those desires in the heart, desire to worship. And then we talked about the highest desire that's associated with fire, the desire to delve into the secrets of the Torah and to Minchadish and so on. Shehamadrega ha'elyoina, this highest level, mufshit mimasige aguf, you know, it's not connected to anything physical, really. It's a very refined desire, conceptual. Hi harotzim b'moichoi, it's the desire in the brain, bedato, in knowing, machshavto shalodam, in the thinking processes of a person. Ki ganarotzim hagas b'divrei Torah, you know, you're sitting in front of a Gemara and you want to understand what the Gemara is saying, and you have a real powerful desire to get to the bottom of it. Lahovin lahaskel la'amkom, to really understand the depth of the words that you're reading. Lahaskim moichin de gadlus divrei nevuah, to achieve prophecy, to transcend the limits of your own thinking. Umidivrei mirana noim el melech muchrech, and from the words of the Rebbe el melech, it would seem shaharotzen ahi loy taspik lahoitzi midei chiyuv shalodam, that this, it's not enough. The highest kind of thinking that we think. I want to connect with God, right? The highest level of desire to get into the amkus of the Divrei Torah, you know, to have dveikus through the text of the Torah, or to achieve the complete negation of the self in nevuah, in prophecy. It's not enough. It doesn't do it. Ki lekayem abriya tzrichim anachnu lizdamez lekoineinu, because Reb Lemelech is suggesting that in order to make creation happen, lekayem es abriya, in order to sustain the universe, we have to resemble God. We have to resemble the Creator. We have to be in imitatio Deo. And since God, as it were, constricts himself in his desire for us, in the simple desire, in order to sustain the world in its creation and its continuation, so we have to imitate and we have to be like God. And we have to constrict ourselves. We have to have the desire to die for the sanctification of God's name, the way God has the desire to be mitzamtzem himself. You know, when we talk about tzimtzem, but what does it mean to God, tzimtzem? You know, God is infinite, so it's like, you know, God, I can't really say the words, but it's like a kind of cosmic damage God does to himself with tzimtzem. So we have to be prepared to do the same. Next paragraph. V'hine bikash Yitzchak me'esav. So Yitzchak asks Esav, va'atun, and please now, shi'isakin kashtoi, that he should fix his keshes, his bow. Haynu shi'yashchiz tefilosoi, that he should sharpen his prayers. Va'avidosoi, and his worship. Loshin keshes kele'el, like Yaakov says, "Shlekachti miyadu emori becharbi bekashti," that I took from the Amorite with my bow and my sword, and the uncle said with my tfilosi biusi, my prayers. Vumeramez lemadu isa betzatel koten. Memran bal sefer kodesh noyim lemelech. And he says, the Rebbe says there like this, B'posik rishon shel kriya shema, in the first verse of the Shema, U'brocho rishoino shel shmoina esre, and in the first blessing of the shmoina esre, the silent meditation, Yaharher kenal, a person should have in mind, like above, there's a big fire in front of me. So when a person is saying Shema, he should imagine that there's a big fire in front of him. And when he gets to Echad, throws himself into the fire for the sanctification of Echad, right? And when a person is saying the first bracha of the Shemoneh Esrei, especially on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you know, the chazan has all this bim bom bim bom. What's the purpose of all those, you know, those musical pauses in the davening, right? It's to have these kavanas, right? Then Rebbe Lemeir says, "V'oid yichaven." A person has to do. You gotta go further. A person has to have in mind, "Im ye'anu oisai kol umos ha'olam," if all the nations of the world should come and start to torture him. "B'chol inuyim koshim," with any and all the different kinds of torture, right? We're talking whatever a person can think of, from thumb screws, you know, to the rack. "If all the goyim in the world should each one have their turn," this one says, "I'll take his feet, I'll take his toenails, I'll take his nose." "V'yivshitu oiroi mibisoroi," Rebbe Meir says, if you imagine that they're stripping the skin from his flesh. "L'hakrish chas v'chilom b'chayivichudoi," and they're saying, "We're not going to stop unless you deny the oneness of God." "Yisboi kala yisurim," a person has to imagine himself suffering all that anguish and agony, the loyoid lahem chasvilah, not to admit that there's a possibility that God is more than one. "V'yitzaya b'datui machshavtui ki lo oisin lekina," a person has to not just imagine that he's ready for them to do that, but as part of this course of miracles that the Rebbe Lemeir is talking about, a person has to go beyond just the fire and the jumping into the fire. A person has to have this elaborate fantasy of being tortured in order to be able to sanctify and say, "No, I am not going to deny the oneness of God." And with this, a person fulfills his obligation of Kriya Shema and Tefillah Kedin. So when a person's doing nothing, then you can use that spare time imagining that you're jumping into the fire. When a person is coming to the davening, it's not enough to imagine you're jumping into fire. There you have to imagine yourself, you're in terrible pain, you're being tortured. The next paragraph. "Upirish yesh chiyuv ala adam." So what Rebbe Lemelech means is that there's an obligation on a person, you have to stretch this desire to give your soul for the sanctification of your name even further, beyond what was said above, even when a person is in worship, even a person is in prayer, you have to imagine, because you have to imagine like you're being tortured. And you have to imagine that you're withstanding the torture without trembling, without being set back. And a person has to imagine that he's taking upon himself this pain with joy and with love, in order to sustain the oneness of God in the world. Page 16. It's another terrifying idea. If we go back to the very beginning where we were talking about the desire which is situated not in the mind, not in the belly, but that which is in the heart, the letter Aleph, that this central place of desire, Moira al Rotzen, the Dovaruchni, represents the desire for spiritual things and Mesogim Hargeshim, and for emotional things. Kigan Rotzen is Karev Elov, the desire to be close, to be drawn close to God, the passion, Lishtachavois of one of, to bow to God. Leharitz, Lavidois Isberg, to sing to God, to exalt in God. These are desires in the heart. So Rebbe Lemeir saying, it's not enough. That's not worship. That's not love. It's not enough to fulfill your obligation to unite, to make God one. because what a person says, he says, "An imam in bemunah shleimo," I believe with a wholehearted belief. It's not enough. You haven't fulfilled your obligation. Just saying, I believe that God, Shem Lekeinu, Hashem Echad, with your whole koyach, with everything, it's not enough. You haven't fulfilled your obligations, says Rebbe Lemelech, Kili Yachid LaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'olam, in order to make God one in the world, ula'avdo, and to worship God in the world, Tzrichem Anachnu Lizdamus Likuinenu. Again, we have to do it in imitatio Deo. U'ma'achashu Kav Yochum Mafshit Oiroi, and says God, as it were, strips his light. The Oiroi Sof, B'tzimtzumim M'cheke, with this infinite number of tzimtzums, K'dei L'kaim Achdusoi, in order to fulfill his oneness with us in his world. So we have to be ready to strip our skin from our flesh for the sake of the oneness of God. Next paragraph. So Yitzchak asks Esav, he says, please, Shisakin Kalev, prepare your vessels, haino shiyashis kli kibulot, sharpen those receptacles that you have. V'oisi yoim erev Pesach hoyikid, everybody knows that the day that Yitzchak told Esav to prepare to go out, that was erev Pesach. V'al etzem avoydes ha-Pesach hitikenu achila, everybody knows that the whole idea of the carbon Pesach and the whole avoid of Pesach is the fixing of eating. It's the yantiv where all the mitzvahs are about eating. V'umiram is marked the isa b'tzetel kot miram b'sefer HaKodesh Nevi Lemelech, and also hints at what, you know, when Yitzchak blesses Yaakov thinking that he's Esav, he says, Yisimcha lekim kefraim kemenashe nishle, sorry, yitinecho lekim mitala shemaim, right? And that's why we pray for tal on the first day of Pesach, because that was the brocha that Yitzchak was giving, was the brocha of tal, because that was the first day of, I write about it in the Kabbalist Haggadah at length. So Pesach is the yantiv where we fix our eating. Rebbe Lemelech says there in the third paragraph of Tzetel Kotn, he says, Gam b'shas achila, also, in the first paragraph, it was when you're doing nothing. You're lying in bed, can't sleep. The second, it was when you're davening. You're davening Shemoneh Esrei, you're saying Kriya Shema, you have to go beyond, and you have to be mekayim the mitzvah of unifying God, and he explained how. Now, in the third item, the third paragraph, he says, "B'shas achila v'zivug," when a person is eating, or when a person is making love. Page 17. Yichavin, he has to have in mind kenal, as we wrote above, the mitzvah nikdashti. The mitzvah of God says, sanctify me inside yourself. So I have to imagine that I'm jumping into the fire for the Kiddush Hashem. And then I have to imagine that I'm being tortured, and they're trying to force me to abandon my religion and to abandon my beliefs in the oneness of God. And I'm just letting them do that, and I'm withstanding it. Now Rebbe Lemelech says, after, you have to go beyond that. When you're eating, or when you're having sex in your kishiyascha lahagish tanu gashmi, person starts to feel physical pleasure, yitzai b'machshavtoi, has to like go into this fantasy. Kenal, so has to imagine the fire and jumping into the fire, has to imagine being stripped and tortured and so on. V'tekev miyad yoyme b'fiv b'levovoi, and then a person has to say immediately, straight away, while he's experiencing the pleasure of the food or the pleasure of the sex, just say in his mouth or say in his heart, say really, say to speak and to mean it. Shiyosahoy letanik v'simcha, the pleasure that I have is nothing compared to the pleasure that I would have basias mitzvahs esishel v'nigdashti ba'oifen hanal. It would be even more pleasure, Rabbeinu Shlalem, if you were to take me and strip me and torture me and burn me to death right now. Mehagoshes talagashmi hazeh, it would please me more than the pleasure that I'm having with this food or this sex. Shehu mitzaras mashka dechivi, because this pleasure that I'm having now, this comes from the dark side, this comes from the side of the nachash, the serpent, the... I would get more pleasure from pain. V'kach yoyma, and a person should say this, says Rebbe Lemelech, v'ra'aya ledova, and proof that what I'm saying is true. Shiyoysoy leitanik v'simcha basiyas mitzvahs esher shevenigdashti boifnal, and proof that I would take more pleasure in being tortured to death and in this pleasure that I'm suffering here. If robbers were to break into my house now while I'm eating this Shabbos meal, or they were to break into my bedroom while I'm doing zivug, to do all these horrible tortures and everything, I would rejoice for the opportunity to sanctify the name of God. More than this pleasure, this physical pleasure. Rebbe Lemelech adds, don't fool yourself. Don't say it if it's not true. You have to mean it, because this is a very important thing. He says this is not something to lie to yourself about. If you're not there, you're not there. But you know, before you say it, really mean it. It has to be really carved into your heart when you're saying it. Really, the inside of the heart. It has to be really true, honest. Don't go fooling yourself. I think you can fool or steal, you know, God's mind. That's Rebbe Lemelech. Page 17, Upirish, Sheyesh Chiyuv Al Adam, what Rebbe Lemelech means is that a person has an obligation. Lehamshich Mesiris Nafsha Kiddush Hashem Ad Yoyseh V'Yoyseh V'Mashanem Lehem. Person has to, like, has the obligation to sanctify the name of God way beyond what was said before about lying in your bed doing nothing, or when you're davening saying Shema. More, much more than that. Shigam b'shas achilu v'zivik, even when you're eating and enjoying the pleasures, chayv odem letzar b'nir, a person is obliged to imagine in his mind, v'lo yirak b'machshavte, not just in his thought, right? El shiyivte b'sfos, a person has to, like, articulate it. B'emtzor achilu y'zivik, during the eating or the sex, tanug yoisegoda, that there is a pleasure greater than this pleasure, and that would be sweeter umosuk hoya im yanois, if only they would torture me. Alkiyam mitzvahs, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of nigdashti. So what is Rebbe Meir saying? That the ikar cheshik, the chief desire that a person has to have, is letzar, is for pain, v'loy letanu, not for pleasure. Kidei lekalish shem shemayim begufo, in order to sanctify the name of God with his body. U'shezeo yoyisetanik, and that would be an even, that pain would be even greater pleasure, b'ma shemargish b'achila, than he's enjoying with the food or sex. Page 18. V'gam zen noiru amafrid. This is also a very frightening concept Rebbe Lemelech has just introduced. Shamash mevul el psich sasef berishin b'shevigimel b'chinas harotzen, because that which we described above, that the most basic desire that a person has those desires that we experience in the stomach. Harotzen b'kirbayim, we experience viscerally. a rav, like hunger, shurotz necha, the desire to eat, or itzoma, or thirst, shurotz nishna, which is the desire to drink. Medivri merana noyim elamelech muchrechim, from the Rebbe, Rebbe Lemelech, it seems, shema sha'odam ekalish atzmei bemutaloi, that sanctifying yourself with what's permitted, saying, I'm not going to eat anything that's not permitted, I'm not going to sleep with my wife whenever it's not permitted, right? Uporish mikol nidnet v'shem etzovim v'aver, and a person stays away from anything that could possibly be like sinful or transgressive. Loy taspig, it's not sufficient. Lohoitzi midei chiyuv v'shel odam nekalish meizbar, it doesn't do it. It's not enough to fulfill the obligation to sanctify the name of God. Atshi yargish b'chush, until a person talks himself into experiencing physically shatanuga atzmi, that this physical pleasure shalaguf of the body ain't oinig amiti, that's not real. Usha oinig amiti, that the real pleasure kabbalas yisurim is pain. But ad kedushas shmo yisbarach, for the sake of the name, the sanctification of the name of God. Manoima, what can we say umanadaba, and what can be said? Lifnei boichin kloyes v'leiv, in front of you, who reads the kidneys and the heart. I mean, when you read a Neuer Melech like this, and then when I compare it to my life, what can you say? I want to go back to note number 24. Rebbe Lemelech said, a person has to say, proof that I mean it, is that, even that I'm enjoying this pleasure now, but if bandits were to break into my house and snatch me away to, do whatever they're doing, I would rejoice, right? So the Sefer Ben Amchaim, he says, Lezemru Chazal, Lohoyet David Roi Lo'oisem Aser. The Gemara says that Bahamas, King David wasn't, he wasn't the kind of person to sleep with Bathsheba, and he wasn't at a level or a kind of person to be sucked into that sin or that state of mind, that compulsion of having to do what he did. Ela lahoiris tshuva, but he did it in order to teach us how to do tshuva. That's how it's normally understood. That the Jewish people really who worshipped the golden calf, we really weren't the kind of people to worship a golden calf, but God wanted it because he wanted to teach the world how to do teshuva, how a people takes upon itself penitence for having transgressed and done a sin and so on. I sometimes think, the Germans have spent the last 60 years making reparations for their horrible crimes, and I know that they're never really going to internalize who they are. The German eagle, right, that they have on their flag, when they make one of the feet a chazer feet, right? They have these claws, this eagle with the claws. This, it goes back, I think, to the Roman legion, to the eagle that they captured from the third Roman legion or something like that. But I'll know that the Germans have really internalized who they are and what they've done when they change one of the feet of that bird for a chazer foot, right? Like, Shane, we Jewish people, we have this sin in front of us all the time. The reparations that we make, it's not about money, it's like about internalizing. And the Gemara says that David, what he did, when he did, he wasn't the kind of person who would be so overwhelmed with passion that he would have to do. But David came to teach us teshuva. So the Be'er Ma'am Chaim says, Sha'akudosh Baruch Hu osa zois b'kivun, that God did this specially, premeditated, lehat imoy begoyde labas ataveidu b'oisa amas, that God wanted King David to taste the passion. He wanted him to taste the fire of the passion that burns in that kind of a situation. Because later, so that he would know, that so that King David would know how to do a mitzvah with passion. How can you know how to do a mitzvah with passion unless there's a great scene, you know, with Williams when he's in that Dead Poets Society, right? And he explains, you know, what is poetry? It's things that people invented to seduce women with, right? Until you understand who invented poetry, right? How can you understand what it means to use words in that way, you know? Like, how can you worship God with words, with davening, unless you've known how to use those words in an unholy way, you know, but with passion? How can you know how the passion feels if you haven't felt the passion? And so David HaMelech says, my sin is in front of me always, because David never forgot what the desire, what the lust, what the tava, what the longing that he felt for Bathsheba. He never forgot that. He was like, he was super conscious of how it changed the whole chemistry, the whole biochemical matrix of his body and his glands and everything, and how it all came together, how his body felt when he was in desire for Bathsheba. Because that's what he needed in order to worship God. So let's do the Mishnah 4. Mishnah Dalet. Teli ba'olam. The teli, the quiver in the world, kemelech al kisai, is like a king on his throne. Galgal b'shono, the wheel in the year, kemelech b'medina, is like a king in the country. Lev b'nefesh, the heart in the soul, kemelech b'milchomo, is like a king at war. Teli ba'olam, note number 25. We learn in the Degel Machne Ephraim, this is Moshe Chaim Ephraim of Sidlikov. He was the son of the daughter of the Baal Shem Tov. Daughter of the Baal Shem Tov had two sons, Ephraim, the Degel Machne Ephraim, and the Rebbe Reb Boruch, who's the father of Reb Nachman, yeah? Was the grandfather of Nachman. So the Degel Machne Ephraim is a beautiful Chassidish sefer in which he quotes many, many times on every page things that he heard directly from the Baal Shem Tov himself. From my grandfather, he says. So in Shmois, he says, Al Pi HaYedua, I'm going to explain it by something that I heard. Where a person's thought is, sham hu kuloi. Where a person's thought is there, that's where the person is. Not where his physical body is. We're not situated in space where our body is, but rather we are situated in the space where our mind, where our thought is. So this is the Indian of Teli. Because space is really an illusion. We are where we think we are. And the thought shoots like an arrow. The quiver is where the arrows lie when they're not being used. So when the thoughts are not being used, they are lying in the telly. And this is what the Rebbe Lemelech said, when a person's not learning a ponim in a Torah, or he's lying on bed and can't sleep, that's that time when we are lying inside our own telly, our own quiver, our thoughts are not being used. So when you are the telly, when you are your gears are all in neutral, shemachshavos is pnuyim, because your thoughts are available to go anywhere direction, they're not in any place. Like the arrows that are in the quiver. So then that moment is kemelech al kiso, it's like a king on his throne. What does it mean? This is note 26. Kashamelech yishev al kiso, when a king is on his throne, ein pshutei am yecholim lekones lifkosh, but then simple people, regular people, are not allowed in to the throne room to approach the king. V'rak mishe nikru lova el ha-melech, then only people who are invited to come to the king, oy odam nesicha medino, or one of the lords, ukadoim yecholim lekarev elav, is allowed to enter to talk to the king. Kashodam ponim in atoyri yoshev botel kidel, and when a person is like, his mind is in neutral, is not learning, or if he takes that moment to throw himself in the imaginary fire to sanctify the name of God, then he becomes like the king sitting on the throne. We said Galgal Bishono, the Galgal in the year, Hu Hamachse, that's the wheel. The cycle v'sidat filas kol hashana, that's the davening that we do, that's the galgal, the wheel, v'zem levur besetel kotten, where he says that in the first pasuk of Kriya Shema, in the first chapter of Shmina Esra, we have to imagine that as being tortured, boy says man have odom b'b'chinas shana, that time a person is like, he's the year, he's the time. Shemeshanin es dibure lahashchizam ashi yichadim kechudesh almacha, because that's the time a person is, the word shana also means like shane, like tooth. It also means to sharpen. Vishinantam levenecho. So galgal b'shana, the davening, the cycle, the machsa. The word machsa means the cycle, the sidur. In time, a person has to sharpen his words, right? To say they should become to like a point on a needle, lezama ritzim, in order to cut through all the things that separate him from God, lehosa klipos, to remove the klipos. Kemelech b'medina, the Mishnah says, he's like a king at large in the country. Kashamelech b'medina, because when a king is at large in the country, as a Philip Shuteyam Yecholim Lifkosh, but then even regular, the peasants, the populace, the hoi polloi, the bourgeois, can approach the king. V'loirak mishenikru lo v'lamelech v'nesichav, not just somebody who's invited to the king or one of the lords who has access to the king. But when the king is at large, then anybody can approach. U'kashodam koyre kriya shema mespal shmeina esrim, when a person is davening and a person is saying the shema, azim yichav nekabel kol einuyim bad achdus Hashem yisboch kelel, if he takes upon himself to take all that pain. Also, bebechinas melech b'medina, then he's like the king at large. Sheyochel kol aguf lehenes b'meni, because then the whole body can take from the king. V'loirak ha'koyches ha'gdoilim bechinas nesicha melech, not just the intellectual powers that are in the mind of a person, but the person's entire body can draw on his spirituality. Elohu ba'atzmo korev lamelech, he himself is. Everybody is korev lamelech, is close to the king at that time. V'chol dover kotem v'godel, big or small. So when a person is davening and he's in that mode of enigdashti and ready to accept all the pain, then he can bring down the shefa of bonachai mezayna. And finally, lev benefesh, the soul, the heart and the soul, ki alevo amanig oila ma'elyon, because the heart is what directs the upper world, the machshove shebarosh. The heart is the leader of the mind. And it's also the leader of the lower world, which is the desires and the longings. And the heart itself has the two aspects. Like the Pasuk in Kehelet says, like the wise man's heart is to the right, and the fool's to the left. And we learn in the Gemara Merav, Yetzara doim lezvuv, so the Yetzara is like a fly, a yoshev bein shtei maftechei alev, it sits there between the two ventricles of the heart. And this is the melchoma. and says Kamelach b'mochama, the lev in the nefesh is like the king at war. Kishamelach b'mochava as a shaylet to Moshe b'kippah. When the king is at war, then his rulership is not democratic. It's not nice. It's not. He's got a big picture in mind, and really, he just smashes through all the boundaries. He doesn't even look at people or who. He doesn't even look at his family or at people he loves. He doesn't look at any individuals. A king at war has to look at the big picture. Has to look at the country, at the state, and not to get caught up trying to save or protect an individual, because there are much bigger things. He has to keep his eye on the big picture, because you can win a battle and then lose the war. Doesn't look at it, this is what I need, oh, my house is leaking, you know, I mean, these things are not important. Anybody can approach the king, but don't go asking for your own needs. If you're going to approach the king at that time, you must also have in mind something to do with the big picture, the war. Because if you don't, you know, you're going to just annoy the king. If you want to help, yeah, you can approach. And that's the meaning of Lev B'Nefesh. All right.